The fountain of youth pours from a wellspring of knowledge. With the founding father of natural medicine, Dr. Jonathan Wright, MD, ND, this is Green Medicine. Sharing the secrets of anti-aging, disease prevention, and holistic well-being, here's your host of Green Medicine, Dr. Jonathan Wright.
Welcome to Green Medicine Radio on AM 770 KTTH. This is indeed Jonathan Wright. Some people of the University of Michigan say Dr. Wright, but I don't try to work with that unless I'm at the clinic. Anyway, from Tahoma Clinic in Tukwila. Now, for much of the next hour, we'll discuss how health can be improved and then maintained, and healthy longevity further extended with the use of natural substances and energies. However, since everyone is concerned about the coronavirus, been asked about it a lot of times, I'm sure you have too, an article is posted on the Tahoma Clinic Facebook page concerning things to consider, in addition to social distancing, to help prevent infection. But what's not posted there, did you know there are two treatments first used in the 1940s that can actually reduce deaths from any viral infection? Did he say any viral infection? Yes, he did. And does that include coronavirus? It hasn't been actually tried, but it definitely does, because it gets all the other viruses it's ever been tried on. No reason it shouldn't get coronavirus. Obviously, these treatments are not patentable, or we would be repeatedly informed about them, wouldn't we? Oh my goodness, they'd be pushed at us like crazy if they were patentable. Let's start with this research article published in 2017 in a mainstream medical journal. The article is entitled Modern Medicine's Aversion to Vitamin C Therapy Results in 500,000 Needless Deaths from Sepsis in United States Hospitals Every Year. Yes, I'm going to repeat it. Modern medicine's aversion to vitamin C therapy results in 500,000 needless deaths from sepsis in U.S. hospitals every year. And yes, that was right in a mainstream medical journal. The name of the journal is Chest, if you want to look it up. Not kidding, that's 500,000 unnecessary deaths from sepsis right here in these United States every year. Now, for the very few listeners who don't know what sepsis is, it's an infection of the entire body, which also often causes death. Now, that article continues. While modern medicine casts a blind eye, now how do you cast a blind eye? Pull it out of your head and throw it at them? I don't know. Towards vitamin therapy, and even exhibits open disdain for health practitioners and patients who incorporate vitamins into daily health regimens, it now appears, this is by the authors of the article, not by me, it now appears that 500,000 Americans are actually annually losing their lives to a mortal bloodstream infection called sepsis after 3 decades and more than 100 failed clinical trials of synthetic drugs. And yes, the authors did write synthetic drugs despite being medical doctors. More than 100 failed clinical trials of synthetic drugs to quell the most common cause of death in American hospitals, which happens to be that sepsis thing. Modern medicine is dragging its feet over what has now been demonstrated to be obvious. Intravenous vitamin C demonstrably reduces death from sepsis. Sepsis patients are being brought back from the precipice of death, enough to make ICU nurses cry tears of joy. I didn't say that, folks. I'm just repeating what's in the medical journal. But medical overseers have attempted to obscure this fact, and that's the end of the quote from their article. Now, the researchers are from Eastern Virginia University Medical School, and they reported that when compared with the standard of care treatment, intravenous vitamin C, along with vitamin B1, which was also pioneered in the 1940s, along with some cortisol, reduced deaths from sepsis from 19 out of 47 cases in the standard of care group. In the vitamin C group, there were also 47 cases. This is research. And guess how many died? 19? 4. That's a reduction of 79% in the death rate by using intravenous vitamin C as compared with the standard of care. Now, extrapolating from that data, 475,400 lives yearly could be saved by revival and reapplication of Dr. Frederick Klenner's treatment that he put together and published about in the 1940s and 1950s. In the 1940s, Dr. Klenner reported rescue from death from not only sepsis, but also polio. Now there is a deadly virus. And other acute and deadly viral infections, viral encephalitis, and other frequently death-causing infections. And that's not all, folks. Vitamin C intravenous goes clear back to the 40s, confirmed by the doctors from Eastern Virginia Medical School. That's not all. Let's try this one. Yep, some of us know that there's another death-preventing treatment for a serious infection invented right here in the Seattle area in the 1920s. I'm not kidding, folks. It was invented right here in the Seattle area in the 1920s by research scientist Emmett Knott, K-N-O-T-T, and it was used at Virginia Mason Hospital until the 1940s. I am not kidding again. That's all for real. Now, what's going to follow next is from a 2016 publication by researchers at Harvard. Everybody bow down. That's Harvard. Writing along with researchers from a Chinese research university. The name of the research report was Ultraviolet Blood Irradiation. Is it time to remember the cure that time forgot? The researchers wrote, ultraviolet blood irradiation was extensively used in the 1940s and 1950s to treat many diseases, including, here we go again, septicemia, pneumonia, poliomyelitis, tuberculosis, and a wide variety of other problems. However, with the development of antibiotics, those are patentable, aren't they? And ultraviolet radiation, that's not patentable, folks. Anyway, with the development of antibiotics, the use of UBI, ultraviolet blood irradiation, declined and has now been called the cure that time forgot. That's the Harvard researchers. But even in medical and nursing schools, it's rarely mentioned. In the late 1930s and 1940s, medical journal reports published reports from universities, hospitals, and even a few clinics all around these United States telling us that ultraviolet blood irradiation, also called UBI, could effectively treat a whole variety of infections, bacterial as well as viral. Now, here's just one example. In 1942, Professor George Miley at Hahnemann Hospital in Philadelphia reported using ultraviolet blood irradiation, which he named the Knott technique after Emmett Knott, on 103 patients with life-threatening, that's life-threatening, again, infections. At that time, antibiotic treatment was barely getting started in 1942. The only antibiotics available were sulfa drugs. So the large majority of these patients with life-threatening infections usually did die. Dr. Miley classified the patients as early, moderately advanced, and moribund, which is medicalese for close to death. He treated all of them with ultraviolet blood irradiation and reported in the early stages 20 out of 20 completely recovered. 20 out of 20! So possibly, very likely, in fact, if we could get this treatment to early stage coronavirus, they'd all recover. In the early stages. Are they using it down at Virginia Mason like they did back in the 40s? Probably not. I can't say for certain. Not using it anywhere else either. Now, that's the early patients. Of the moderately advanced patients, 46 of 47 recovered. Moderately advanced. And all but one of them completely recovered. And of the moribund patients who were sent to him nearly dead, 17 out of 36 fully recovered. Yeah, that's, quote, only, unquote, a little less than 50%. But look it. If we get to the early ones, it's 100%. If we get to the moderately advanced ones, it's 46 of 47. Why? Except we all know why. Isn't intravenous vitamin C, particularly as this research came from Eastern Virginia University Medical School in just 2017, and we don't have to reach clear back to the 1940s and say, oh, that's old stuff. And then this report, from Harvard in 2016 on ultraviolet blood irradiation, I'd be willing to guess that there isn't one hospital in our entire region which is equipped, with ultraviolet blood to do ultraviolet blood irradiation or vitamin D and C intravenously. It is such a shame, folks, because particularly in the case of the UVBI, ultraviolet blood irradiation, where they separated into categories of early and moderate, and all those earlies and moderates, all but one were cured. Why am I going on like this? To let you know that there are two cures for coronavirus, even serious coronavirus, that are known. They've been published in medical journals, and yet we never hear about them. They're not in the hospitals. They're not patented. That's why. When are we going to get over this everything must be patented before we can use it in mainstream medicine syndrome? Obviously, the people at the Eastern Virginia Medical School have gotten over it. And the Harvard people have gotten over it. So, folks, all is not lost. But really, I'm going to be putting this into Green Medicine newsletter along with the footnotes. What does that mean? That means the references to the medical journals where this stuff can be found. So, if you happen to be a subscriber to Green Medicine Newsletter, and you can be by just going online to greenmedicinenewsletter.com, you can take your copy of Green Medicine Newsletter with its footnotes, maybe photocopy it first so you'll keep yours, into your physician and say, Doc, how come this isn't being used? And the more of us that do that, the more they'll ignore us until we get to be overwhelming, and then they won't ignore us so much anymore. But there are two cures. Did he say cures? Yes, he did. Harvard, East Virginia Medical University, both said so. For any viral infection out there, even in the end stages, no kidding. And we need to know that those exist and it's not being used in standard of care medicine. So sad. Anyway, it's getting time for me to shut up here pretty soon. And after the so-called commercial break here, well, I'll be taking your calls for the rest of the hour and not just carrying on. Thanks for putting up with me.
Do you want to rid yourself of chronic conditions and feel vibrantly alive and optimistic about life? When your hormones are out of balance or you have food allergies, you just don't feel right, even when you're eating well, exercising, and getting adequate sleep. Meridian Valley Lab offers state-of-the-art diagnostic testing that can help you and your doctor balance your hormones and uncover underlying food allergies for optimal health. Together with medical director Dr. Jonathan Wright, MD, ND, Meridian Valley Lab has been taking laboratory testing to the next level since 1976. Call 855-405-TEST. If you've tried treating your symptoms but still don't feel well, it might be time to get tested. Take charge of your health by calling Meridian Valley Lab to schedule your hormone or food allergy test today. Call 855-405-TEST or visit MeridianValleyLab.com. That's 855-405-TEST or online at MeridianValleyLab.com.
We've all heard of using curcumin as a spice, but in the March issue of the Green Medicine Newsletter, Dr. Wright gives a detailed look at the many health benefits that curcumin provides. He quotes a renowned doctor who shares that curcumin is by far one of the most powerful antioxidants known to science, hundreds of times more powerful than blueberries and dark chocolate. In addition, studies reveal that curcumin can lessen or eliminate depression, prevent Alzheimer's and other dementia, reduce obesity, and much more. Subscribe to the Green Medicine Newsletter for the full article and for other health insights. Visit greenmedicinenewsletter.com or call 602-252-4477. That's 602-252-4477. The Green Medicine Newsletter at greenmedicinenewsletter.com. Do you have questions about dietary supplements? Tawny at Tahoma Dispensary has more than 20 years of experience studying scientific literature that supports the many uses for dietary supplements. Tawny has a master's degree in nutrition, and she's definitely an expert in dietary supplements and the science behind them. If you have any general questions about supplements mentioned on today's show or any other supplement questions, call Tahoma Dispensary at 888-893-6878 and ask for Tawny. That's 888-893-6878. Supplements can be used to add nutrients to your diet to potentially lower your risk of health problems like osteoporosis or arthritis. If you have specific questions regarding nutrition and supplements for your particular situation, call Tawny at Tahoma Dispensary, 888-893-6878. That's 888-893-6878.
And now, back to Green Medicine, here's Dr. Jonathan Wright.
Okay, we'll just turn that music down, and I see that two folks have called us, and we'll get right to them, but I did make a mistake. Yes, I forgot to give out the so-called call-in numbers, and I'm glad that Carol and Ray knew what they were anyway, but here they are for everybody else who doesn't know what they are. 206-421-0770. That's 206-421-0770. And 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. Okay, so it's time for me to shut up and listen to Carol. Hi, Carol. Thank you so much for calling.
Hi. I have a question for you. It was quite a few months ago. I didn't look up the date that my naturopath here in Tacoma had me using testosterone cream. And one thing I looked up on the internet after I started having trouble with my hands with a rash was the first thing they said was a skin rash. It did say at application site, but I've had trouble with eczema in years past. It's been many years, though. And I did have trouble from water once in New Jersey where we lived. I got eczema from the water, and it was well water. But anyway, what I would like to know is I really do think, because I've tried everything else, I really do think it might have been the testosterone that caused it, and it's not going away. I mean, my skin on my hands is just terrible. I literally have to oil it up with vitamin E oil or castor oil and wear gloves, which is kind of a pain.
No kidding.
But I'm doing it, and they've healed some, but the minute I let them get dry again, it starts right in again. So I'm wondering how you might reverse or how I might reverse that reaction. Is there anything I can take that might reverse that?
Okay, a couple things we need to cover first, ma'am. You did quit the testosterone, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, just making sure. Sometimes people are brave and carry on, and I just thought I'd ask. And you were applying it with fingers, I assume?
Yes.
Where were you rubbing it in?
Into my, I believe it was on my stomach. I can hardly remember now, around my hip, somewhere around there. I think it was my hip, actually.
Okay. Well, a couple of things, ma'am. One, you were given the wrong instructions about where to apply it. Hormones, we determined in the early 1980s, in fact, and I keep talking about it at conventions, but apparently not everybody listens there. Hormones apply best when applied to mucous membranes. And mucous membranes are any tissue in the body that looks like a lip, except we don't want people putting it on their lips. So for women, there's quite a bit of mucous membrane in the vaginal area, the inner labia, and so forth. For us guys, we're kind of limited, and we only have the perianal mucosa. But if we put it on our skin, it not only doesn't absorb as well, but it keeps absorbing worse and worse and worse the longer we put it on our skin. So somebody gave you the wrong instructions there. Mucosal application is the thing. Now, did that cause the eczema? Well, probably not. Just thought I'd get that out there. However, it sounds very much, ma'am, as if you're either allergic or hypersensitive to either testosterone or the carrier base, that's the cream in which the testosterone is dissolved, or both. It's possible to be allergic to both, particularly if you have a history of eczema. You're more of an allergic tendency person than some people anyway. So one of the things that would help this to subside, ma'am, would help it to subside, would be, of all things, getting desensitized to the carrier base of the testosterone. It is extremely possible, and it doesn't take long to desensitize a person to those things if they happen to be sensitive to it. But when something like this happens at Tahoma Clinic, that's what we do. We have one of the people who's been doing this for a long time at the Tahoma Clinic, and what she does is she checks to see if you're sensitive to the testosterone or to the carrier base or both. And if you happen to be sensitive, then desensitization and the body quits reacting, because I'm sorry, you can't help but still have a few molecules of this stuff in your system. And if they happen to be expressing themselves on the hands, that's not at all unusual, especially, again, since you have this history of eczema. So you need to get screened to see if you're sensitive to the cream or the testosterone. Now, I hope you didn't throw it away, because you have to have the stuff in order to be screened against it. But I guess you could get a prescription for a little teeny bit if you needed to do that to get screened for whether you're sensitive to it, ma'am. So
okay, I think I still have it.
Good. Okay, now the other thing is, I think the big box drugstores still have low-dose cortisol in a cream. Now, if it's cortisol, that's identical to natural. If it says hydrocortisone, it's also identical to natural. And if we just use a little bit of that, ma'am, it is identical to natural, and it is one of the best things there is for settling down allergic inflammation in the skin. And again, it has to be the identical to natural hydrocortisone or cortisol. If you went to see a standard of care doctor, they'd have you using prednisone or decadrone or something, and those are molecules that don't belong in the human body. So check with your pharmacist at your big box drugstore. Do you have any cream of cortisol or hydrocortisone? Because that's the first thing to apply.
I did use the hydrocortisone cream, and I believe it did use, which I don't like to use, but I believe it did take away the itching and so forth, because I haven't really had that.
Good. Well, you can keep using it, but you need to get screened for desensitization, ma'am. So thank you so much for calling and getting this word out to everybody. We really appreciate it.
Okay, so to get desensitized, what do they do? Give you like a shot or something?
Not at all, ma'am. Not at all. The process takes all of 10 minutes, and it's done using frequencies, as in homeopathy.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I have heard of that. I even had the allergy testing there at Meridian Lab, and they did say I'm allergic to eggs and almond butter, and I'm a little curious about that because, you know, eggs are the only thing that keep me going in the morning, and that's what I was eating pretty much every day, almost every day, not
Uh-oh.
Quite. And then almond butter I was eating on rice cakes with coconut oil and honey every day for lunch. So, you know, I'm wondering, does it pick up stuff that you eat the most?
Not necessarily, ma'am. No, it just depends on how sensitive you are, a little bit or a lot, and sensitivities do vary. So, again, thanks for calling.
I've been off that for like almost 3 weeks, and that hasn't seemed to make a difference. So.
Okay. All right. Well,
okay.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. And Ray, you go ahead. I don't think I may not be able to get the answer into your question before the next commercial, but we'll get started. Let's go.
Well, hi, Dr. Ray.
Hello, Ray. Thank you for calling.
Hello?
Yes, I'm right here.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you're on a new station.
I noticed that.
Yeah. Well, you know, at least they don't have that same intro that they had on the other one.
That was a little different, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, but it just kind of...
Yeah.
Hey, what can you tell me about oregano oil and antiviral properties? I found a kind of an article. I got to get it from the library though, because it's you know, they want you to pay $30 for it, about how it can stop virus.
Some of them, sir. Not all of them, but some of them. Now, oregano oil was pioneered by our ancestors jillions of years ago. This comes down to traditional medicine because they noticed that it helped to clear up gastrointestinal problems mostly, because it does have the interesting capacity of killing bad guy germs in the guts but leaving the good guy germs alone. How do you like that? So it's been around for a long time.
Yeah, really good for that, but
yeah. And insofar as the viruses, I'm pretty sure it doesn't kill all viruses. Not being a super expert on oregano oil, I can't say for sure, but it does kill some viruses and has sufficiently other health benefits that I'd be using it if I had a problem.
Oh, okay. Well, you can't use it how about just as a preventative? I mean, it's not going to hurt, right?
No, it's not going to hurt, but there is one other thing that the Roman army used, sir. It's called silver, and all the natural food stores and helmet dispensary and all those places have colloidal silver, and that stuff kills viruses for sure and bacteria bad guys for sure.
Well, I'm taking both of them just to be safe.
Good for you. You're
the one I got
again.
Has, well, it's because I listened to you, and I had to thank you, so, you know. Yeah, you put yourself down a lot about, you know, we got to listen to you, but it's anytime I listen to you, I learn something, so... Put that in your factory.
That's the point of the program, sir. We all learn something.
I'm thinking one that has 30 parts per million.
That's the standard.
On the bottle it says take 1 teaspoon 3 times a day.
Uh-huh. Yep.
That sounds about right.
Sounds just right, sir.
Okay. Hey, when I drink water after a meal, how long should I wait? So I don't, you know, because I got to take stomach acid, you know, the pills. I take about 625 milligrams of each meal. And so I just want to make sure I'm not diluting all that stuff up. So I'm just kind of wondering about how, is it about a 30-minute wait?
30 max and about 10 minimum, sir.
Okay. And if you don't have another person yet, I was wondering, supersaturated potassium iodide, does that help with killing viruses? I know how you talk about
it, yes,
towards all the mucous membranes, like our lungs and our sinuses. So can that also be used as a preventative?
Yes, but not steadily every day, sir, because that, in more than one drop of Lugol's iodine a day, or more than two drops of SSKI a day, potassium iodide, that has the potential over time for messing with one's thyroid, and the silver and the oregano don't have those kind of adverse effects. So you can use it on and off, sure.
So how long would I wait in between, and what would the dosage be?
Well, what I'd be doing, sir, and then we got to get to our break here, but I'd be using, you're an adult male, so I'm not kidding now. If it's an acute thing, I'd be using about 12 drops in water twice a day, but I'd stop that after 3 days. It is safe to do that for 3 days, but then you got to give it a break.
Okay, and how long of a break do you get?
Well, this is for acute stuff now, so at least a 2 or 3 day break, I'm sorry, but you would have to.
Okay, and how long could... Okay, well, non-acute, then how would you do it?
Non-acute, I do 1 or 2 drops a day just to make sure I had some in me, and it would work against germs as well as supporting my system. Sir, we got to go to a break. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Bye now.
If you want a better tan this summer, you need to check out Dr. Jonathan Wright's natural supplement, Tan Pal. It's loaded with amino acids, vitamins, and copper that increases the body's ability for melanin production. Even the fairest skin people will be able to tan to a noticeable degree. Take advantage of your body's own natural tanning chemistry to prolong the length of time you spend in the sun before you start to turn pink. The latest science-determined nutrients will offer skin support and allow you to develop a healthy, natural glow. Go to TahomaDispensary.com. TahomaDispensary.com or call 1-888-893-6878 to order now. That's 1-888-893-6878. Dr. Wright's natural supplement, Tan Pal. Order now by calling 1-888-893-6878. That's 1-888-893-6878. Fair skin folks, this is your ray of sunshine. Tan Pal. Call 1-888-893-6878.
Dr. Jonathan Wright's Sun Pal is a multivitamin, antioxidant, mineral, and amino acid formulation comprised of nutrients that exert a positive effect on the structure and function of skin. It significantly reduces the risk of skin cancer. This all-natural, research-based supplement was created based on the work of Neva Shapira, Ph.D. Dr. Shapira pointed out in her brilliant article in Nutrition Reviews that the melanoma skin cancer rate in Greece was less than the melanoma skin cancer rate in Australia. Both countries provide plenty of sunshine, so why the difference? Many of the nutrients in the Greek diet, which aren't present in the Australian diet, significantly reduce the risk of melanoma and other skin cancers. SunPal contains the majority of these missing ingredients. Dr. Wright supports this belief, so go ahead and enjoy the outdoors again this summer, and every time you're outside, go to TahomaDispensary.com. That's TahomaDispensary.com. Or call 1-888-893-6878 to order now. 1-888-893-6878. Do you want to rid yourself of chronic conditions and feel vibrantly alive and optimistic about life? When your hormones are out of balance or you have food allergies, you just don't feel right, even when you're eating well, exercising, and getting adequate sleep. Meridian Valley Lab offers state-of-the-art diagnostic testing that can help you and your doctor balance your hormones and uncover underlying food allergies for optimal health. Together with medical director Dr. Jonathan Wright, MD, ND, Meridian Valley Lab has been taking laboratory testing to the next level since 1976. Call 855-405-TEST. If you've tried treating your symptoms but still don't feel well, it might be time to get tested. Take charge of your health by calling Meridian Valley Lab to schedule your hormone or food allergy test today. Call 855-405-TEST or visit MeridianValleyLab.com. That's 855-405-TEST or online at MeridianValleyLab.com.
sharing the secrets to anti-aging, disease prevention, and holistic well-being. You're listening to Green Medicine. Here's Dr. Jonathan Wright.
Well, I think I'm here anyway, and we'll get right back to your calls. Seems we have Don and Michelle waiting, so let's go ahead. Don, what's on your mind, sir?
Yes, I have a chronic myeloid leukemia that I just found from a blood test taken on March 2nd. The hematologist is giving me two nasty drugs, hydroxyurea and allopurinol, to make sure that I don't clog up everything. Is there anything better than those to keep the blood stuff from clogging up the blood system?
Well, of course there is, sir. We've all heard of fish oil. It's actually possible to take enough fish oil that if we cut ourselves, we won't quit bleeding. Now, to do that, we need to take 3 to 5 tablespoons a day, and I'm not going to recommend that. Nobody's going to do it. But it is a possibility, and that actually was learned by a research team from Denmark who wanted to know why certain groups of so-called Eskimos were having too many hemorrhagic strokes. And it seems they were eating so much fish and fish oil that their blood was getting so slippery. The platelets in the blood were getting so slippery that they would bleed easily when they were whacked in the head. So anyway, yeah, you can just use good old fish oil. Now,
how
much? For an adult, it is quite safe to use a total of a tablespoon a day. Past that, there is a test, and no kidding, there's tests for everything. It's called a blood viscosity test, and that means how thick the blood is and how sticky the platelets are. That's the viscosity. There's a blood viscosity test, so I work with an engineer who insisted he wanted to take the max blood fish oil he could, and so he took a tablespoon a day, did his viscosity test. A little pricey to do this, but that's what he wanted to do. And it wasn't too thinned out. So to summarize that, when he got to 3 tablespoons a day for him, now this is just for him, and I'm not recommending it for you, but he tested himself to see. When he got to 3 tablespoons a day, his blood was just where he wanted it. It was well away from the too thin, but still it was thin enough to do the job. So anyway, I'd start with a tablespoon a day, see how you do, and that's usually quite a bit for most of us to do, a whole tablespoon. But, you know, the stuff is an oil, and some people say I get irpy after I take oils, and there are at every health food store, the Toma dispensary, and some of the big box pharmacies, digestive enzymes that focus on fats. One of mine, I know, is called lipinase for lipid digesting. And so if you get irpy when you take a lot of fish oil, okay, take a couple of those, and it takes away the irps, and you can put up with it.
Okay, another thing, the fact of donating blood, which I understand they won't take my blood now, but if I was to actually have somebody take a pint of blood and throw it away, would that help the situation?
Yes, it would, as long as it gets done in the right timing for you, not too often, and of course, not at all, because you're absolutely right. I could keep carrying on about the American studies and the Finnish studies that showed that regular blood donation cut the risk of heart attack and stroke by, no kidding, the American study, 45%, the Finnish study, 88%. So yeah, I highly recommend that, sir, and I don't know why the blood banks don't advertise this way. Help, help, we need blood. Did you know that donating blood reduces your risk of heart attack? Something like that. I'll shut up.
Yeah, I've talked to Blood Works, and they won't, what's called a phlebotomy, I believe. They won't do it anymore. Do you know of somebody who would do that?
Well, just check around with your local natural medicine doctors. We happen to be one of those at our clinic, and we do that. But there may be doctors a lot closer to you, and they're usually naturopathic doctors, of course, who do therapeutic phlebotomy in their offices. So do check. Not all of them do, but some of them do.
All right. I've got one more question. What's so surprising to me is all my blood tests from last year My white blood count was around 6 or 7. And then this one on March 2nd was 120. So it's a sudden rise.
Yes, it is, sir.
And during that time, I stopped taking the 4-MU for my prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. And I've used the Fenbendazole. Yeah, I've been using that instead. You think there's any connection between stopping the one and starting the other one that would have done that?
That's a maybe. I'm sorry. I know of no data that tells us that fenbendazole does or does not do that. So I really can't say, sir. I'm sorry.
Okay. But there is a possibility.
Unfortunately, there is, yes, but... something you could think of if you are working with a natural medicine doctor who does testing to see if you're hypersensitive and or allergic to things, because you can get yourself checked on that, because it's much more likely if you're hypersensitive or allergic to something and you're taking it, even though it has a good purpose, it's much more likely to cause some kind of a disturbance around the body. Not going to kill you, but some kind of disturbance. So get that checked if you can.
I'm just surprised how fast the white blood count went up.
Yeah.
Very fast.
You've
been a big help, and I sure appreciate it. And thank you very much again for helping me.
You're welcome, and thank you for calling, sir. Okay, now just before we get over here to Michelle, I'm going to mention those call in or out, whichever they are, numbers for again, because after Michelle, everybody will just have to listen to me ramble on. And would you much rather ask a question than listen to me ramble on? Anyway, the call-in numbers are 206-421-0770, 206-421-0770, and 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. And hi, Michelle, what's on your mind, ma'am?
Hi, I just found out that two people that I love very much just found out they have breast cancer.
So oh, dear.
One of them is my daughter, who is 30 years old.
Okay.
The other one is my my best friend, who is 58 years old. So both of them are going to be going through breast cancer. One of them just had a lumpectomy. My daughter's probably going to be having one as well. But so in both cases, they're each going to be on different paths as far as recommended protocols following that. My friend who's older is going to be having radiation treatment, apparently high-dose radiation for 3 weeks.
Oof.
And my daughter is probably going to be having what they call pulsed chemotherapy. Now, she is going to be
working... what that is, ma'am.
Okay. So, consequently, my question for you is, do you have any recommendations as far as supportive supplementation that each of them could be doing while they're going through this?
So, one's getting chemo, the other's getting radiation, right?
Correct.
Well, the two docs at Atoma Clinic who see the large majority of the cancer patients happen to be Dr. John Sherman and Dr. Davis Lampson. Dr. Lampson was actually former professor of oncology, which is cancer, of course, at Bastyr University before he decided to retire from professing and just simply work with people. So they would definitely have better answers than I do, ma'am, just because that's what they do. Now, why don't I do that a lot? Because the state medical board for medical doctors has a bad habit of coming after medical doctors who do anything alternative, and they've certainly been after me enough, so that's why I try not to put myself out there. But for purposes of this radio program, they can come after me if they want to. And what I'm wondering is why everybody ignores the following proven facts. One, iodine kills cancer cells. Iodine kills breast cancer cells specifically. One of the issues of my newsletter is entitled Drop a Day Keeps Breast Cancer Away, and explains that if a woman rubs in one drop of Lugol's iodine on one breast one day and the other breast the other day, in the first place, it's not an overdose. In the second place, much of the iodine is stored in the breasts. And if a breast cancer cell starts to form, the iodine kills it. And there is no question about that. The footnotes are in the article in the newsletter. That's number one. Now, number two, ma'am, there are publications on something called MSM, methyl sulfonyl methane. MSM by reputable scientists, and what they find is that MSM literally helps to turn breast cancer cells back into normal cells. I am not kidding. Methyl sulfonylmethane can do that. That's another one I happen to know about besides the iodine. And a funny thing, but if you go online and put in indole, I-N-D-O-L-E, dash 3, dash carbinol, C-A-R-B-I-N-O-L, and the word cancer, up will come, I think it's about the fifth one down, up will come something that tells you that it is sufficiently well established now that indole 3 carbinol kills a variety of cancer cells that one of the government agencies is going to start a study on it. It's about time. So anyway, those are three things I do know. I don't know everything Dr. Sherman and Dr. Lampson know, but oh my goodness, I would never subject myself to chemo or radiation. Chemo is a poison, and we all know that. Yes, it kills cancer cells, but it kills all kinds of normal cells too. And radiation, it doesn't have good side effects. It has only bad ones. So if a person must go through radiation, one thing they can do is take a honking big dose of melatonin just before they go in for the radiation, because it helps protect against radiation damage. But other than that, ma'am, I'll shut up now. Your turn.
Well, this is the type of suggestions that I'm looking for. Fortunately for my daughter, she does have some functional medicine doctors that she's going to be working with that are going to be part of her team, and they're going to be looking at her not just her they're looking at her genetics as well to make a determination as to what will be the best course of action for her. My friend, on the other hand, she lives in California, and she actually has she's just like on Kaiser and does not have the means to essentially reach out to a broader team. So she's kind of just turning to me asking for some advice, because essentially they're not really, it's kind of a one and done. They're just like, well, we're just going to give you the radiation, and they're also recommending that she go on a estrogen blockers for 5 years.
Oh, good grief, no.
Yeah, I told her, which was a horrible, horrible idea.
And it's also a road to cognitive decline, ma'am. If you block our estrogen into our brains, and we're women, we have faster cognitive decline.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, so the last thing that she needs on top of everything else.
Yep. Okay, ma'am, well, we're coming up against the next break, if we can call it that, but thanks so much for calling, and I'm sorry I can't do better for you, but that's, if you ever wanted to, or if it ever became necessary, let me put it that way, check with Dr. Lampson, check with Dr. Sherman.
Thank you.
You're welcome, ma'am, and thank you for calling.
In the February issue of the Green Medicine Newsletter, the supplement strontium is explained in great detail. Studies show that strontium helps to improve bone density, decrease tooth sensitivity, and can help treat osteoporosis in a natural, healthy way. You may be wondering what to look for in a strontium supplement. Based on research, it appears that between 340 and 680 milligrams of elemental strontium works best. The smaller quantities will help prevent bone loss from occurring, while the larger doses can help treat osteoporosis. Talk to your doctor or schedule an appointment at the Tahoma Clinic to discuss what is right for you. To read the full article and find out the ins and outs of strontium, subscribe to the Green Medicine Newsletter by visiting greenmedicinenewsletter.com. That's greenmedicinenewsletter.com, or call 602-252-4477. Schedule an appointment at the Tahoma Clinic to discuss what is right for you. Call 602-252-4477.
Have you heard about Tea Builder? Tea Builder contains 10 ingredients, each chosen because research studies reported that 9 of Tea Builder's 10 ingredients stimulates men's own bodies to produce more testosterone and or free testosterone. What does the 10th ingredient do? That 10th ingredient is nature's original molecular version of Viagra. Of course, Viagra is not only more potent, but also patentable, more expensive, and has potential adverse effects. Tea Builder, which helps men's bodies make more testosterone, is a safe, effective alternative, and it's not pricey. A 30-day supply, one bottle of 150 capsules, is $29.95. If your entire order is over $35, your shipping is free. Go to TahomaDispensary.com. That's TahomaDispensary.com. Or call 1-888-893-6878 for Tea Builder. the formulation that helps men's bodies make more testosterone. Call 1-888-893-6878.
Do you have questions about dietary supplements? Tawny at Tahoma Dispensary has more than 20 years of experience studying scientific literature that supports the many uses for dietary supplements. Tawny has a master's degree in nutrition, and she's definitely an expert in dietary supplements and the science behind them. If you have any general questions about supplements mentioned on today's show or any other supplement questions, call Tahoma Dispensary at 888-893-6878 and ask for Tawny. That's 888-893-6878. Supplements can be used to add nutrients to your diet to potentially lower your risk of health problems like osteoporosis or arthritis. If you have specific questions regarding nutrition and supplements for your particular situation, call Tawny at Tahoma Dispensary, 888-893-6878. That's 888-893-6878.
You're listening to Green Medicine. Here's your host of Green Medicine, Dr. Jonathan Wright.
Okay, let's close out the music there because we've got Kathy waiting and only a little bit of time to go here. Hi, Kathy. What's on your mind, ma'am?
Hi, Dr. Wright.
Hello.
Hi. I have problems with low blood pressure and a high pulse rate.
What's the pressure? I'm sorry. You go ahead.
Okay, and so it went up to like 124 in the middle of the night in December. Okay. And I went to the emergency room, and my blood pressure was up to over 200, over 180.
Yes, ma'am.
And anyway, since then, I've been able to get not take the blood pressure medicines that they gave me because that seems to lower my blood pressure even more. So I've been getting by, but my heart rate is high during the day.
Okay, ma'am, can I tell you? Since we don't have much time, can I please tell you what the problem probably is?
No.
Well, I can, ma'am. Because this happens in women not infrequently. Low blood pressure and intermittent high heart rate, and the blood pressure is way up in the sky. And what that reflects, ma'am, that reflects that the adrenal glands are weak, and I would get in to see a natural medicine practitioner specifically about that. I just saw a woman with this last week. No question. It's so unfortunately common for women. Now, if the blood pressure is low, that usually means that the adrenals are not able to put out enough cortisol to keep the blood pressure up. That's one of the things that keeps the blood pressure up. But when that person's really stressed, then another part of the adrenal gland kicks in, and it puts out a whole bunch of adrenaline, and wow, the heart rate goes way the heck up there. And that's because the adrenal part of the adrenal gland is called the cortex, which makes the cortisol isn't doing its job, and so it has to step in and do the job for it, but it overdoes it. So what you need, ma'am, is one, a test that will confirm this, and the odds of that being confirmed are about 99.5%. I've worked with any number of women with this problem. They just don't seem to get the right test and the right treatment elsewhere. And the treatment starts with low-dose cortisol, identical to natural cortisol. A professor from the University of California taught us all that if we stay with a certain amount of low-dose cortisol, it will make up for what the adrenal glands aren't doing without suppressing the adrenals. And so we start with that, and people say, oh dear, I do feel so much better. I'm not getting those high heartbeats anymore. But we can't have that person taking low-dose cortisol for the rest of her life. And so there are things known in natural medicine, well-known, that help the adrenal glands to rebuild themselves. So you don't need low-dose cortisol anymore. Now, that rebuilding process can take anywhere from a year to 4 or 5 years. But even so, low-dose cortisol is safe as long as you keep the dose down to what the doctor says, whoever's prescribing it for you. There's a whole book about this. It's called Safe Uses of Cortisol, written by that same professor. So, ma'am, I'm sorry to have kept interrupting you, but I'm afraid of a break coming up, and I just want to let you know that this is what the problem is. There's very little doubt about it, and you need to see a practitioner who knows this stuff and what to do about it.
Yeah, I am seeing a naturopath, and I waited for my test. I had the cortisol test, and it came back normal, but that was not when I was, I mean, it just, at that time, it was normal, which is a couple of weeks ago, but I am a little better, but still, you're
was that a blood test?
You're right.
Was that a blood test? Was that a blood test? That's the wrong test. In order to find out if your adrenals are weak, all the urine needs to be collected for 24 hours. Meridian Valley Lab happens to do that test, and yes, I am medical director there. But that is the only way to find out. Just a single cortisol test. The cortisol fluctuates up and down all day. And so you need the 24-hour urine collection, ma'am.
Okay. That's good news. I almost didn't call, but I sure am glad I did. I'm tired of it. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. I suggest you check with a Tahoma practitioner. We do this a lot, ma'am, but otherwise, bring it up with your physician. Thank you.
Yes, I will. I will. Thank you very much. Bye.
All right. Okay, folks. Well, let's see. It says over here that we got about 8 minutes, or maybe seven or six or something like that. So, thank you very much for listening. And those of you who called in, thank you for calling in. The objective of this program is both to get the information to the individual calling, but there's other people listening, and it's to get the word out as far as we can about scientifically based natural medicine. Occasionally, there isn't as much science as I'd like, but most of the time I'm talking about scientifically based stuff, and you're not going to find it applied in mainstream medicine. And we all know why. I ranted on about that at the beginning of the program. So I won't go into that any further. But there's a whole ton, and I do mean a whole ton, of scientifically based natural medicine. Tahoma Clinic has one of our physicians whose entire job is doing research at the University of Washington Library, going online, going to PubMed. As you know, that's National Library of Medicine that you can go to online, to collect research papers. Yes, he's been working with us since 2010, and I did it myself before then. And what do you know, we have a collection of over 100,000 research papers, both on paper and electronically, the good old PDF form. So I'm very serious when I tell you this is scientifically based. Over 100,000 research papers, and yet you can't read them, it seems, if you're at a mainstream medical school and teach them to the students. Uh-uh, that's not going to happen. So going back to what I said at the opening, please, folks, one does not need to die of coronavirus. If you go to the Facebook page for Tahoma Clinic, you'll see some things that one can do to strengthen their immune system. So hopefully they won't catch it in the first place. But particularly if it's caught in the early stages, high-dose vitamin C and ultraviolet blood irradiation will kill the blinking thing without killing us in all the cases of high-dose vitamin C and ultraviolet blood irradiation. There has not been a death from the treatment, ever. And if you recall, the ultraviolet blood irradiation, why, unless you're near death, it's almost 100% against any virus. Any virus. Yep, I did say any virus. And the high-dose vitamin C? University of East Virginia. They cut the death rate from sepsis, a very bad infection, down to, oh my goodness, 4 people from, what was it? That was 79% less than the upper number, whatever the upper number was. And this is all science-based. So anyway, folks, thanks for listening to me, what shall I say, carry on. I didn't want to ask if another caller wanted to call, because then we'd have to interrupt you at the end of the program. So let's just throw out a couple of things from research papers. Did you know that nausea and vomiting of pregnancy is totally curable? The research was done and published in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology, no less, in the 1950s. And out of 74 women, 68 were completely cured in 2 to 3 days. I am not kidding. American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology. And that's not bad. 68 out of 74, is it? Oh, yes, and another 3, they were relieved of all their vomiting, but not all their vomiting, but not the nausea, and only 3 weren't affected. 3 out of 74? What did they use? Of all things, vitamin C, what do you know, and vitamin K, taken at the same time. And the author of the research paper told us very deliberately, you got to swallow at the same time. If you swallow one in the morning and one at night, you're not going to get anywhere. But if you swallow them at the same time, they will work. And you take some vitamin C, maybe 2 or 3 grams, and you take some vitamin K, and you look at the label, and if it says take 2 or 3 a day, please do. And if it doesn't, please take 2 or 3 a day also, whatever it says. But you got to take them at the same time. And that's from research published in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology. I kid you not. But do we ever hear about it? Uh-uh. Unless perhaps we're seeing a natural medicine doctor. But it's very, very science-based. You can hardly get more science-based than that. Huh. And here's another one that comes from a medical journal. If you have children or grandchildren who just don't seem to be growing as rapidly as their brothers or sisters or their neighbors or whatever, in other words, they're a little short for what you'd expect, the researchers found that most of those kids, not all, but very close to all of those kids, were low on vitamin A. Now, wouldn't you think that if you ate enough carrots, you could get vitamin A? Well, yeah, if your body's doing well at taking the carotenoids, which are in carrots, and turning them into vitamin A, but not everybody's body does that. So even if the kids are eating a ton of carrots, if they're growth challenged, as one might call it, and, of course, it's best to catch it early if you can, what the researchers did was have the parents use vitamin A. And for kids, check with your doctor who's skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine for how much vitamin A for any one particular child, depends on height and weight. But what the researchers found was, oh my goodness, all those kids started growing like a normal kid, and they weren't growth challenged anymore. And there it was, right in a scientific journal. Do we hear about that? Uh-uh. Now, that does not mean that everything that's ever published in a scientific journal is true. Uh-uh. Can't say that. But what I can say, very, very definitely, is the scientific journal stuff that I'll be telling you about in the future is stuff that, guess what, I've had experience with. And what do you know? It worked like the researchers said it did. So anyway, everybody, thank you very much for listening to Green Medicine Radio on KTTH. We'll be back here next Saturday. Bye now.